Morning, you alright? How you guys doing? All good, I hope. It is now Friday. Oh God. Thank F that it's Friday. Am I right? It's Friday the 20th of March. In the year of our Lord, 2026, you are the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me. Without you, it's not a thing. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Great. Should we just get straight into it then? Should we have a look at what the legacy corporate mainstream media is lying by omission about this morning, what they're trying to tell you is important and what isn't important? That cabal of evil Fleet Street editors who just won't talk about Ehud Barak or the fifth Baron of Rothschild. Just won't talk about it, will they? Just won't mention it. All right. Iran war unleashes world energy shock. Oil's up a bit again. It is getting expensive now. And King of the Coast. They've opened a new walk that you can do in Britain around the entire coastline. And they've called it King Charles III Path. Important stuff. Half German, half Greek sausage fingers man. Globalist traitor. They named a path after him. Important stuff. All right. I am mildly a monarchist, by the way. To be anti-monarchist is a bit commie, isn't it? But I don't like King Charles himself. And look, Chris Packham. Go away, Chris Packham. Bring up the thing, Harry, so people can see what I'm talking about. There you go, Chris Packham. Oh, Chris Packham, go away. If anyone who's foreign doesn't know, 35, 40 years ago, there was a kids' programme called The Really Wild Show. A little kids' programme. With, like, Michaela Strachan. Pillhead Michaela Strachan. And Chris Packham were on it. And that other guy who lost a finger got bitten off by a seal. What was his name? Nuttall or whatever his name was. Anyway, ages ago, honestly, like, 35 odd years ago or something, Chris Packham was on a kids program about wildlife. He's still going. Why give him oxygen? Oh, the other thing to mention, this is one of the most insufferable leftist traitor globalists you could ever imagine. The worst. Chris Packham. Humanity has reached its limits. Shut up, Chris. Shut up, mate. Go away. Ugh. Go to your middle class parties and talk about how progressive you are. We're not interested. Chris Packham. Absolutely disgusting. All right, the iPaper. Let's have a look at some real news, shall we? World energy shock hits UK with bill rises set to last 4 years. Yeah. We had some deflation. But deflation in and of itself is very, very difficult to control. Well, it's not really controllable. I mean, inflation is very, very, very difficult to control, really. But anyway, that's a whole different thing. Fallout from attacks on major gas plants reverberate across globe. Yeah. UK gas prices rise 25% after missile strike on world's largest natural gas factory. A natural gas factory. Like that factory's making the natural gas. Okay, in Qatar, amid threat of further attacks from Iran and US, families across Europe face cost of living hit again as, with prospect of two UK interest rate rises this year and inflation forecast to move towards 5%. So we've had it higher than 5% in very, very recent times. And I said yesterday, didn't I? I reported yesterday that they think there will be two rate hikes this year even for the, so if you've got any sort of loan, any sort of anything you're paying back, including your mortgage, then that will become more expensive. Brilliant. And even if you haven't got a mortgage, you rent, or the owner will probably have a mortgage, which will go up, so he'll put your rent up. But nothing ever happens. So is this affecting your life? Yeah, nothing ever happens, people. Well, the definition is if something affects your life. Affecting your life yet? Okay. US Defense Secretary claims America's allies are ungrateful and should be thanking Trump. Yeah, we can't stop winning. Cheers, Trump. Yeah. We're going to be bored of winning, aren't we? Just so much winning at the moment. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Trump. Thank you. Iran missile attack wipes out 17% of Qatar's liquefied natural gas capacity for up to 5 years, with energy sites hit in Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. So the oil war. US President says he has told Israel to halt its bombing of Iranian energy infrastructure, then jokes about Pearl Harbor in front of Japanese PM. Shouldn't laugh, really. Can't help it, though. Yeah, so, okay. Yesterday, or was it the end of the day, the day before, Israel hit one of Iran's massive oil fields, and the Donald said to Netty, don't do that. And apparently Israel, well, definitely Netty, because Netty did an interview, a press conference yesterday, which I watched, and he confirmed that the Donald had, in fact, asked him not to do that anymore, and that he wouldn't. So that's that. Some people trying to characterise that as a giant split between the Donald and Bibi. I don't think it is, but obviously Trump wasn't happy with that. He's asked them not to do it anymore, and they said they won't. Okay, and then the Pearl Harbor thing. The Japanese Iron Lady was in the United States yesterday, actually in the Oval Office, sitting next to Trump, you know, in front of that fireplace where Donald likes to do his some conferences, actually in the Oval, literally. And somebody asked him a question about the nature of a sort of a surprise attack, because on that Saturday morning when they martyred the Ayatollah, again, it's not funny, that's a nervous laugh. A question came to the Donald about the nature of a surprise attack. Why didn't you let anyone else into the planning of it? And Trump said, reasonably, that it was to do with operational secrecy. That we needed it to be, you know, really, really tight-knit secret thing. Otherwise, it would have probably leaked. I mean, I saw a thing today, an article today. Maybe we'll get it here at some point. But some people, we don't know who, exactly, apparently put big bets on that Maduro would be captured and that the Ayatollah would be killed just before it happened, i.e. people in the know. You can only imagine, really, Pentagon people, maybe some State Department people, maybe the odd White House staffer, but probably just Pentagon people. You can only imagine, right? It's a bit cheeky, though, isn't it? A bit brazen. You know that's about to happen, then you go put a bet on it. One of them was like £20,000 bet. The betting websites were crazy to take that bet, really. It's a specific thing. Anyway, some people were in the know. Sorry, I've slightly got off the point there from the Pearl Harbor thing. Someone asked him about that in the Oval Office, the nature of surprise attacks. And he said, I think it might have even been a Japanese reporter, because when a foreign leader does that sort of thing, they'll bring their own entourage, including people from their own news agencies. I think it may have been a Japanese. The way the Donald responded, it was like he was replying to a Japanese reporter. Anyway, he said, remember Pearl Harbor? He said something like, you guys know about Pearl, the nature of surprise attacks. Remember Pearl Harbor? Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. There's a bit of like sort of fake, well, maybe it's not fake, a little bit of outrage in sort of the lefty, politically correct media about that. Donald Trump mentioned Pearl Harbor in front of the Japanese Prime Minister. If so, what? It's a bit. Neither he nor her were responsible for it. It's a piece of history. He was asked about surprise attacks. He's at liberty to talk about surprise attacks then, isn't he? It's not like he brought it up out of nowhere. She starts talking about tariffs. And he was like, no, we're not talking about that. Remember Pearl Harbor? You guys. It wasn't like that. It wasn't anything like that. I think it's funny. I think it's actually funny. bringing that up. I think it'd be funny if Keir Starmer brought up the War of 1812. When Britain burnt the White House down. Okay, Dave Grohl. Don't really care what Dave Grohl's got to say about anything. Got some good songs, but I'm not interested in what he's got to say. Okay, The Guardian. Ugh. Just think M1. Ugh. The Guardian, gross. Okay. This MP who was sexually assaulted, well, raped, and just talking about it. New threat from Iran as fears grow of energy crisis. Right, got it. Fury as Farage calls to ban public prayer by Muslims. Sorry, get it right. Yeah, what's wrong with that? Yeah, it's a complete exercise in trying to dominate people. That's what that is. If you're a Muslim and you want to do your prayer, because it's Eid or whatever, or just any single day, five times a day, you want to do your prayer, get your little prayer mat out and do your performative prayer thing. There's mosques for that, aren't there? There's all sorts of praying areas. The Islamification of our society is already quite advanced. In lots and lots of places, you'll find a special prayer room. Right? Not making that up. Go to some big buildings, there might be a special room for women to change nappies of little babies, right? Very special room just for that. A little prayer room for Muslims. You got that. Oh, that's not enough. Now you have to do it in the street. You have to do it on, like, the green outside Westminster Abbey, do you? You have to fill up Trafalgar Square and do it, do you? You have to block a street in where? Blackburn, Oldham, Birmingham. You have to block the street off and fill the street up. Doing your prayer. No. Meanwhile, Christians could be arrested for praying silently in their head. Fury at Farage for calling to have it banned. Fury from who? Who's furious about that? What, Muslims who want this country to be like a full Muslim country, Sharia-controlled country, that people. People that have got an out-group preference. Crazy traitors. Like Sir Keir Starling. Or whoever. Traitors like that. Their fury. That's who's furious at Nigel, is it? No, he's right. He's right. It's an exercise in trying to dominate us. An exercise, a show of strength. All those things. Of course it is. Nigel's right. Whether he'll do anything about it once he's in power. If he's in power, aim high, vote low. Millions must go. Okay. Reform leader, Nigel again. Because the Guardian are obsessed with Nigel. Milquetoast containment project, globalist sort of establishment shill that he is still far too much to the right for the Guardian, so... They say, reform leader halts cameo use after Guardian revelations. So we talked about it yesterday, didn't we? Well, apparently Nigel heard that, took note of it, of what the Guardian said, not what I said, and has decided to stop doing it. It's probably for the best. Again, I hope I'm backing Rupert. I back Rupert over Nigel, but still, that's for the best. Now, I don't despise reformers. I was one of them, of course. And most of them, a lot of them, have got their heart in the right place. When I was in reform, the normal people, the rank and file people, were great people. They were the salt of the earth. They were trying to do the best thing for their country. They genuinely were. It was the best option at the time. There's a better option now, though, guys. There's a better option. Rupert Lowe. Restore. But at the time... Yeah, nearly every single rank and file person, volunteer, someone who turned up to a meeting or whatever when I was in reform, were solid, solid salt of the earth people. So for them, if nothing else, their leader has now stopped his cameo. So good. That's good. It was bad optics, wasn't it, for them, for you guys. All right. 30 years after This Life, there was a program called This Life. Where did carefree hedonism go? Don't care. This life was crap. You know, sometimes in culture, you're told that there's this brilliant TV show. It's brilliant, and everyone's watching it, and everyone loves it. Sometimes it's true, like Game of Thrones or something, or Breaking Bad. Sometimes it's just not true. That was one of those things, This Life. Everyone's got to watch This Life. Everyone loved This Life. It was crap. It was so crap. I hated it. Well, hate is a bit strong, but it was crap. All right, the Tory graph, the Telegraph. There's Charles Saxe Coburg and Gotha, half German, half Greek. Sausage fingers, bratwurst fingers. Traitor, seems to be traitorous. Seems to put foreign people and foreign religions above native people and the native religion. Very, 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 very morally weak person. Extremely close friend to prolific paedophile and necrophile Jimmy Savile that no one ever talks about anymore. There's been a path opened. There's been a path, and you can walk all the way around the coast of Britain if you wanted to. There's various coastal walks in Britain, and it seems like they've sort of joined them up in various ways, so you can just do one continuous 2,000-mile walk if you wanted to around Britain. And they've called it the King Charles Path or something. Not important, is it? Not important. Saudis threatened strikes on Iran. Riyadh warns Tehran after attacks on Gulf oil and gas sites send global prices surging. I mean, within limits, kind of surging. It's like, if you just zoom out from that graph, there's a massive spike back in 2022, like this high. But all right. Steel is expensive. Well over $100 a barrel now on average, roughly. Depending on what type of crude you're talking about and exactly what moment in the day you choose to take your data point from, but be something more like $110 a barrel, $120 in some cases. So it's getting there. When at first we talked about, I would say, wouldn't I, in the first week, don't worry, the oil price isn't going too crazy. That was true. Well, now it is getting, there's no way to describe it as not a significant increase. And it doesn't look like it's going down anytime soon. Unless the war ends relatively quickly. Somebody in the chat said about King Charles, Defender of the Faith. No, he changed his name to Defender of the Faiths. All faiths. The head of the Church of England, that's what the monarch is. It's above even like the Archbishop of Canterbury, the monarch. It's not the defender of the faith, Anglicanism. He's the defender of faiths now, all of them. Okay. Okay. Multicultural boomer. That's what he is. An environmentalist, multicultural, multiculti, globo homo boomer. Idiot. He's an idiot. Oh, on paper, he got a degree from Oxford. But of course, they just let him in there. He didn't have to get great A-levels like every other person. They just let him in because he was the Prince of Wales. He's stupid. He's a stupid person. Very, very, very weak. No backbone. No spine whatsoever. Right. Yeah, so the Saudis... Anyway, back to Saudis threaten Iran. I mean, if Israel and the United States can't get it done... I think they will eventually get it done. I think given a long enough time, Israel and America could pound Iran from the sky so much that there isn't much of that regime left. And nearly all their drones and missiles are destroyed or depleted. But given enough time, if they got enough time, as Trump particularly got enough political will to just keep going all summer, or for a year, or 2 years, or whatever. No, I wouldn't have thought so. But if the Saudis get involved, there'll just be more American and European missiles fired. They'll just be fired from Saudi. All right. In the Tom Clancy book, Executive Orders, Iran and Saudi have a war with each other. And America back up the Saudis and win. The end of Executive Orders by Tom Clancy, a book written a long, long time ago, is the President of the United States shooting some sort of missile and killing the Ayatollah, the fictional Ayatollah in Tom Clancy's book. Yeah, Tom Clancy predicted all of this. Also in that book, someone flies an aeroplane into the Capitol building, and it was out before 9/11. Tom Clancy wrote that before 9/11, I believe. Okay, number 10, twice rejected ethics chief's offer to vet Mandelson. Weird, isn't it? Why'd you do that? It's because you were told to do it, wasn't it? Because you was pressured into doing it by Nathaniel Rothschild or something, right? I don't know. That's speculation. Why would you, though? Why would you pick Mandelson if he wasn't pressured into it? Why would you ignore ethics chiefs and everyone else? Jonathan Powell. Why did Starmer ignore everyone and pick Mandy? Well, just because he accidentally got his judgment completely wrong that day? No. Almost certainly not. It's because he was told to pick him by forces more powerful than himself. Or he felt were more powerful than him. Conflict in the Middle East has escalated to a dangerous new phase. Oh, thanks, David Blair. Thanks for that. Brilliant insight there. What's this? The Tory graph. David Blair, never heard of him. Cheers, buddy. Conflict in the Middle East has escalated to a dangerous new phase. Wow. Did you get a PPE from Cambridge in order to come up with that insight? Brilliant. Never saw that. Never thought about that. Brilliant. That's why he's making the big bucks as a journalist. Whoever he is, I've never heard of him. Talk about state the obvious. Come on. Do better than that. Be better. Andrew Police. Why do they write like that? Andrew Police. The Andrew Police inquiry may expand to cover corruption claims. Well, that would be nice. May do. They're obviously not going to really properly investigate it, are they? I mean, properly. All the leads. There's Sax Coburg-Gotha with his finger edema. What is it with his fingers? Is finger edema a thing? I just said that. I don't know if that's a real thing. Why has he got such... Because he's not... If you're really, really fat, if you're morbidly obese, so fat that, like, you've got fat wrists and fat fingers. Okay. But he's not that fat. I mean, he's an old dude, so he's not going to be sort of, he's not going to have a six-pack. But he's not really, really, really fat, is he? But why are his fingers the fingers of a really fat person? Probably speaks of something quite bad, doesn't it? Like, high blood pressure, low blood pressure? I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. I'd confront a shoplifter and you should too, says Badenoch. It's an interesting one. First of all, on Badenoch herself, she's not confronting anyone. She's a tiny little woman. Badenoch is tiny. She's like Preeti Patel tiny. Like little 4'11", whatever. 5'2", whatever she is. Tiny little woman. She's not confronting anyone. But the question, of whether you should. In fact, what she actually said when asked that question was, it depends how big they are. And that's the real answer, right? About 2 years ago, I was walking by Tesco's in Swindon, and some little brown dude, comes running out of Swindon Tesco's with a basket, one of those metal baskets, full of bottles of booze, all vodka and gin and brandy and whiskey and stuff, full of it. And the security guard on the door, black security guard, just stood there, didn't move a muscle, just like watched the dude run away. But this thing he was carrying was so heavy that he couldn't really sprint with it. And just without even thinking, me and like three other people, so four people, run after him. Two of them were women. One of them was a youngish woman. One was like a middle-aged woman. Me and some other dude about my age, maybe a bit younger. We all run after him. And he was running sort of as fast as he could, but this thing was so heavy, it was full. It's full. It must have had like 15, maybe 15 odd bottles of booze in it. And it must have weighed a lot. Well, it did weigh a lot. And he couldn't really run. And he got gassed pretty quickly. My cardio is not great, but he got gassed pretty quickly. He looked young. He looked like he was only about 20. And people, us four, weren't stopping, even though he was sort of pulling away from us, because he was running as hard as he could. In the end, he realised we weren't going to give up or that he had got his gas. So he just put the thing down and then really sprinted away. So one of us, it wasn't me, one of the other people, picked the thing up and just walked it back to Tesco's. Okay. But the thing is, I guess I made this calculation in an instant. He didn't look like a guy that was going to stab me, and he was smaller than me. I'm not a massive guy. I'm like 5'10", 5'9", 5'10". But he was smaller than me. He looked skinny, like he was 20 years old. So I guess in my mind, I made an immediate calculation that if push came to shove, I would just be able to sort of grab him, smother him, get him to the ground, do whatever. I didn't feel physically scared or intimidated by him in any way. However, so I went after him. So I did. I confronted a shoplifter. Never caught him, but anyway. But if it was the other way around, if I was in a Greg, say, and some massive dude comes in, this is the reality now. It's not about being brave, being a badass, or being a coward. It's not about that. It's about reality of having a fight, right? If I was in Greg, say, I turned round and some massive 6'4", 6'5" dude with giant shoulders and chest, small waist, he's obviously bigger, heavier and stronger than me. And there's like a look in his eye like he's cracked out of his mind on ecstasy pipes. He looks like the type of dude that might have a knife on him. Yeah, I'm not confronting that dude. What, I'm going to get stabbed and murdered over some shoplifting? Nah. So when people say, I've seen it, people say it on Twitter and stuff, you should confront a shoplifter. Well, it depends. Are you going to confront a shoplifter that's way bigger and stronger than you? Or there's three of them? What if there's three of them? Don't start a fight with three guys if you're on your own, ever. Don't do that. Don't do that. You will lose. What if there's three of them? You're going to confront, you should confront a shoplifter, should you? Should you? Make a calculation about it. Because it's not worth getting stabbed or just beaten up. When you were always going to get beaten up, you're always going to lose. Guy's much, much more powerful than you. But then again, if it's some little 5'5" smackhead who can barely, he's like, you know, he's really emaciated and thin and small, and he's obviously so high that he can barely walk, he's tottering along, and he's trying to shoplift, and all you need to do is really put your hand on their shoulder and say, you're going to stay here till the police get here, mate. He tries to run or struggle, and you're just like, nah, you're not going anywhere. You're the physically more powerful person. Then okay. Okay, yeah, do it. Why not? You'll be a hero. But I say this, and this is real advice. Don't get yourself stabbed over someone shoplifting something out of Greg's or something. It's up to you, though. And the other thing is, look at Daniel Penny. Even if you're successful, you might get prosecuted. If you hurt them in any way, you get prosecuted. Think about that. Is that worth it? Someone's trying to shoplift a sandwich out of Greg's. You prevent them in the kerfuffle, because they'll probably resist, won't they? In the kerfuffle, they sprain a wrist. And you get convicted of ABH. Is that worth it? Because Kemi Badenoch says you should confront shoplifters, even though she said she'd make the calculation about how big they are. All right, I mean, all right, you get it. Netanyahu, Iran's regime won't be toppled from air. Yeah, yesterday someone asked him about the regime change aspects, and he said, the regime may or may not fall. I know it's been his stated purpose and goal, but he is honest enough, realistic enough to say it might not. So there you go. It really does hang in the balance. You know, like with George Bush Jr. in Iraq in 03, it sort of didn't hang in the balance. It was sort of the White House and the Pentagon's completely 100% explicit aim to change that regime. And they were going to do it, that it was going to happen, right? They'll send in infantry divisions, armoured cavalry divisions. Well, that's just not what's happening here, is it? Excuse me. It hangs in the balance. It may or may not happen. There is only so much that can be done from the air. And it would require either boots on the ground or the Iranian people to rise up themselves in some way. But they've just had the boldest and strongest among them killed, haven't they, in January this year. No doubt they're scared, both of their own regime and of being accidentally one way or another killed by the airstrikes coming in from Israel and the United States. It hangs in the balance. I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of this, whenever that is, that regime is still in place. Completely depleted, like many, many layers of its leadership are gone. Some mid-tier people, or what were mid-tier people, are now the leaders. The country is in rubble. Yet that regime is in place still. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens. However, I wouldn't put money on it. We could wake up any given morning, couldn't we? And the news is mobs have taken control of the streets of Tehran and all the big Iranian cities and all the government buildings and the IRGC and the police are nowhere to be seen. That could happen any moment, any day, couldn't it? Any given day, that could be the news coming out of Iran, couldn't it? Very easily. I honestly put it at 50-50. I don't know. I couldn't put it any more than that. 50-50. It totally hangs in the balance in my mind. We shall see. Ultimately, if they're not going to put boots on the ground, ultimately it is up to the Iranian people to make it happen. Isn't it? If the US are not going to put boots on the ground. And I think even yesterday, maybe it was late Wednesday, but certainly not very long ago, 24 hours, 36 hours ago, Trump once again reiterated the United States are not putting boots on the ground. So might change his mind on that. You hear words every now and again, don't you? You hear noises every now and again that maybe they are in a limited sense, maybe in Cargo Island, maybe just on the south coast, you know. And who knows what special forces teams are actually doing stuff inside Iran. I bet there are. Well, there will be, but full-blown proper big battalion level boots on the ground. Apparently, the Donald's got no intention of doing that. The Express, it's a good paper. Inflation rise in Iran war shock. It's not really a shock, but okay. Exactly same picture of Brock vs. Fingers. Saxe Coburg Gotha there. The Daily Mail. This woman said she had a virgin birth at 35 and she's still one at 42. Really, you want? So you tell the Mail all about it? Weirdo. That's probably why you're a weird. You sound like a weirdo, love. You look and sound like a weirdo. Might be the reason. Okay. Some ethereal actress there. Something out of a vision. That Anya Bird. Can't remember her surname. Anyway, some actress. No real story about it. She wore one of Brooklyn Beckham. One of Posh Spice's dresses. Okay. As conflict escalates. I mean, and lenders pull deals, experts warn of 3 rate rises. That'll be Bank of England interest rate. 3, they're saying it's 3. Iran war unleashes mortgage shock for millions. Great. Great. Thanks for all the winning, Donald. Cheers, bro. The Sun. Hell's Bills. Clever, isn't it? Clever wordplay. Very, very clever. Hell's Bills. That's it. That's all they've got. And a picture of a gas hob. Someone goes to the senior editor at The Sun yesterday. Hey, boss, you ready for this? Stay with me now, hear me out. We've got a picture of a gas hob. Just that, nothing else. Just a picture of a gas hob. And ready? Hell's Bills. Senior editor's like, yes, print. That's genius. The Financial Times. Markets tumble as investors price in protracted energy shock from war. Okay. The price of crude not tumbling, that's spiking, but, you know, markets in general tumbling, they say. Like various equities and things. Okay. Gas prices and Brent crude prices. Notice they show you the chart starting at a very specific point. They don't want to show you the chart going back to 2022. Because then that spike appears as just a bit of a blip. Although, look, $120 a barrel, rough in and around $110, $120, $115 a barrel for Brent crude. That is expensive. That's on the expensive side. Can't deny it. All right, The Independent. I don't like it when they do this. Sometimes when papers, they've abandoned trying to just objectively, even attempting to objectively tell you the news and just simply give you their opinion, just talk to you directly from them to you, the people that make the paper. Okay, you know, like an opinion piece, an opinion, but it's like the front page. Aren't you supposed to be a news organ? Okay, all right. On the front page of The Independent, it says, and this is just The Independent's words. They're not quoting some other amazing analyst or some other world leader or some expert. It's just them. They say, declare victory if you must. Claim Iran's military is degraded and its nuclear program, which your intelligence chief says pose no threat, is neutralized. But as oil prices spiral out of control, it's time to show... It's quite wordy, isn't it? They're on their high horse a bit, aren't they? But as oil prices spiral out of control, it's time to show the world that you, not Netanyahu, is in control. So, Mr. Trump, stop the madness now. End this war before it's too late. Yeah, all right, Independent. All right. And just pipe down a bit. Just tell me the news. Tell me what real experts are saying about things. Not you. Not your journalists and editors that are on an ego trip. I'm not interested in that. Huh? Boris Johnson's stay-at-home COVID messages stopped thousands getting life-saving treatment. Yeah. Yeah, the COVID thing. All right, the Metro. Ugh. Okay, the last few tabloids are absolutely absurd. Oh, sorry, 22. Absolutely absurd. So the Metro, ridiculous and absurd, traitorous, globalist, commie rag. Traitorous, anti-white rag. Subversive. Subversive filth. The Metro. Their front page is about Tina Returner. Remember Tina Turner? Yeah, she's dead now, isn't she? Tina Turner. We had a few good songs. Some people have bought the rights to her name and image and songs, and now they're gonna do like a thing. They had a thing, ABBA Voyage, you know, where they do like avatars or like holograms on stage, and they make a show out of it. They're gonna do that with the life and career and songs of Tina Turner. That's the front page. There you go, that's the front page according to the Metro. That's the most important thing. While the world burns. They're gonna make like a show out of Tina Turner's stuff. Great, brilliant. The Mirror, brought first fingers himself. COVID inquiry. So this is all in the news today. The COVID inquiry thing really grinds my gears really badly. Really badly. So if anyone remembers the travesty that was the COVID lockdowns. The travesty that was. The overreach of that. The government overreach of that. An exercise in seeing how much they can tread on us. And then they did an inquiry about it, which took like 3 years or something, cost 200 million. Somehow, Brewster's Millions style, cost 200 million pounds, somehow. Run by this absolute cretin. What's her name? Baroness Mullet. What was her name? Baroness Hallett, complete muppet. They obviously picked her in order to come to these conclusions. That's the classic thing with inquiries. Okay, the front page says, COVID inquiry, the verdict. Heroic health workers put own lives at risk to prevent system collapse. Not really, it was no more virulent or dangerous than the flu. Tories underfunding and disastrous messaging at centre of tragedy. It was no more of a tragedy than any other flu season. They saved us and NHS. Really, they're the conclusions. The conclusions that this absolute chump came to was that if anything, Matt Hancock and Boris Johnson and all those people, they basically... The worst thing they did was not lock us down quicker and harder and longer. And that the NHS were brilliant. They're the heroes in all of this. That entire narrative, that whole narrative. That's what it took a few years and £200 million to conclude. I.e. a complete and utter whitewash. Not that the whole thing wasn't basically a lie from start to finish. That those vaccines are some sort of weird poison. The setting the precedent of locking people, putting people under house arrest, effectively under house arrest, for no good reason, that's not completely evil, unprecedented, insane, an insane overreach. None of that. None of those things. None of those things. How we were manipulated, treated like cattle. None of those things. No. It was that if anything, the Tories didn't do it quick and hard enough, and the NHS are great. Okay. All right. That's how you did it. That's what government inquiries are often about, nearly always. That's why it's not brilliant, not usually, not all that brilliant, when it's like, there's going to be a government inquiry, there's going to be a public inquiry. Well, they just pick the right people to come to the conclusion they want in the first place. They'll pick some shill, some idiot. Shill, like Baroness Hallett, who they already know her thoughts and feelings and her views on it. You can lead it. You can be the chair. Great, there you go. It's a foregone conclusion. Might take 3 years and £200 million before you get there, but in the end, someone like Hancock or Boris, who really should have lost their liberty for what they did, for that crime of putting us all under house arrest on the strength of essentially a liar, peddling a dangerous, poisonous vaccine, they'll get off scot-free. If anything, the conclusion is that they should have done it more, quicker and more. So never be fooled that there'll be a public inquiry into something and we'll definitely get to the bottom of everything. Oh, no. I don't know. Okay, the Daily Star... I only spend one moment on this because it's so ridiculous. There's Sydney Sweeney in some lingerie. Lovely jubbly. Stanley the dog detective, Wagatha Christie, Pooch solves 100-year-old mystery. Okay. This dog dug up that You know, forget about it. Forget about it. That's it. All right, that's the front pages. That's front pages. Should we have a look at our poll? What did we say in our poll today? Harry, get it up on my screen for me, please, if you could. Engage. Make it so... Okay. Would you... We asked you, would you accept lockdowns again? And just shy of 1,200 people responded. And 94% of you say no. The glorious band, the chosen few, the best among us. Brilliant. My band of brothers and sisters. Not a cool 94% of you. No. 3% say maybe, and 3% say yes. Who are you? Who are you? You best be trolling me. If that was a real yes... Get out. This isn't the podcast for you. This isn't the show for you. Get out. There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the ass on the way out. Don't go. Please don't go. Stay. We can make this work. I still love you. I still love you. We can make this work. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. I didn't mean it. Still, that's a ridiculous win. That's an overwhelming win. If it was 70, 75%, I would have been happy. 93%. Basically, most people. You realise, don't you? We look back on it now, don't we? I do. I'll never do that again. I'll never be manipulated again like that. I'll never submit to anything like that ever again. No. I'm not going to accept the scorn of a Karen in the street or in the park or in Tesco's again. No. If people get so out of their pram that I'm not abiding by the lockdown rules and the distancing and the one in, one out stuff... Then they can call the police. But I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Not again. I'm not wearing that mask again. No. I'll argue with people on the train or whatever. I'm not wearing it again. Call the police. Go and get the transport police then. I'm not wearing it. That is unless it is truly, truly disastrous. If it really is like an Ebola outbreak and 80%, 90% mortality rate and it really is a real thing. And in that case, then yeah, I'm not mad. But if it's based on the strength of something that is essentially just the flu. There's nothing worse than the flu, was it? COVID. It's basically all it was. Which happens every single year. And the flu kills people that are already weak and old every single year. Loads. Tens of thousands. What, hundreds of thousands of old people that are already extremely weakened or ill with other things. Terminal things. It's the flu that sends you over the edge and kills you. They weaponise that that's a fact into putting the whole country under house arrest as an exercise, an experiment in seeing what they could get away with making people do, how much social control have they actually got. What an evil thing. Boris Johnson. That's not even the and all the while open borders, all the while you can't go to the pub, but we're going to leave the borders open for hundreds of thousands of new people to come in from wherever. It's so contagious and so dangerous that your kids can't go to school and you can't go out much. Literally under house arrest, wasn't it, for a while? It was literally under house arrest. They'd let you like have an hour's exercise like you're in jail if you wear your mask. But we'll still have the borders open. Well, mad thing. Mad. It's 10-2 already. I didn't get through to loads of things I wanted to talk about. All right. Well, there was one story. There's loads of more stories to talk about today, but I guess I waffled a bit. There was one story. Harry, did you bring up that other... Was it that one? Oh, yeah. There was a story yesterday that I meant to get to and didn't, so I'll just quickly say it today. Just an example of exactly how... what an absurd place we're in as a country. This story, you may have heard of it before. It's just the latest in an ongoing story that's been in the news before. But the headline reads... Criminal migrant is allowed to stay in Britain after fighting deportation by arguing his son disliked foreign chicken nuggets. Now, at first blanche, you might think, if you've not heard of this one before, you might think that that's just like some sort of silly The Star style nonsense. It's a conspiracy theory. It's tongue-in-cheek. It's not even real. It must be a joke. Da-da-da-da-da. What is that? What's going on? That's just some silly throwaway slop. But it's not really, because it's an indication of where we are, Britain, as a country. So I'll give you the details of the story. Clevis Disher, his name is. This man is called Clevis Disher. He's 39. He's an Albanian man. Born and raised in Albania. When he was about 16, he came here illegally. He broke into this country illegally. Right? He was managed to avoid deportation long enough that he was allowed to stay. He was eventually allowed to stay indefinitely. Should never have happened. When I talk about remigration, people say, oh, you just hate brown people, it's just racism. No, no. Not necessarily anything to do with the melanin count in their skin. Not necessarily to do with skin colour. No, I wanted to deport all these types of Albanians as well. And Romanians. Any country. Could be French people. Could be Irish people. Could be Irish organised gangsters. That are whiter than me. That are more pale than me. And I'm the Milky Bar kid. I'm well pale. The filters on this make me look not as badly pale as I am. I'm really pale. It's not about skin colour necessarily. No, no, no. It's about scumbags. It's about criminals and scumbags. So this Albanian man broke in when he was young, managed to stay, which is a travesty, should never have happened, should never ever have happened. Then later in life, he got married to an Albanian woman, had a couple of kids. Oh, by the way, got caught with £250,000 on him, and when asked, or euros, and when asked, where did you, and the police found it, and they're like, what's this? How have you got £250,000? Like in cash that isn't in a bank. He couldn't explain it because obviously it's organised crime. Obviously it's drugs or extortion. God knows what. People trafficking, God knows what. He's obviously into organised crime. This is an Albanian organised criminal. Right? He was convicted of that. Again, wasn't deported after that. Should have been deported after all of that. Wasn't. Finally, it looked like he was going to get deported. Well, strip of him of citizenship because he was able to stay here for so long. We gave him citizenship. He was going to strip him of that and deport him. And he argued, and in the meantime, where he got married to an Albanian woman and had a couple of kids, he's now got a son that's like 15 years old or something. They argued in court that he and his, because he'd have to send his whole family back to Albania, that they couldn't do that because his son, his 15-odd-year-old son, has got sort of unique dietary requirements. He hasn't. They tried to argue he's autistic. He's not. So he's got unique dietary requirements, which mean he can't go and live in Albania. They're like, okay, what? What dietary requirements? Turns out he just doesn't like foreign chicken nuggets. It was that, honestly. He doesn't like chicken nuggets that are from other countries. He can only eat British chicken nuggets. And the judge accepted that. And so he, this organised criminal, who broke in illegally in the first instance, him and his whole family get to stay here indefinitely. That's mad, isn't it? Isn't that mad? It boiled down to that. That his son, the Home Office appealed, and a tribunal overturned the ruling, noting that his son, who's just known as C because he's too young, the son, we can only see in the decision a simple example of why C could not go to Albania. C will not eat the type of chicken nuggets available abroad. And the judge, Judge Veloso, that's a nice English name, isn't it, Veloso? Judge Veloso says, yep, that's fine, yep, you can stay then. Stay then. He struggles with certain textures of foods. The son of a criminal, of an organised gangster, organised crime gangster. His son struggles with certain textures of foods and has a limited diet. He's got no, as far as I can tell, as far as it was reported, he has no actual proper physical disability or anything with his stomach. which means he can't just eat other foods, other textures. He just doesn't like to. That's it. He has a limited diet, just according to him. That's a good enough reason, Judge Veloso decided. The Shadow Home Secretary, Chris Philip, said that the bogus asylum seekers are exploiting human rights laws and weak judges. Yeah, yeah. You did have 14 years to do something about that, though, didn't you, Chris? When you guys, when your party was in government, you didn't do anything. It got exponentially worse, if anything, when you were in power. So I don't know why we should trust you. As if you're going to sort it out. As if you got in power, you'd sort all this out. No, you wouldn't. All right, just thought I'd bring that one to you. It's nearly 5:02, gone for 4 minutes too. Let's have a look at this day in history. Should we have a look at this day in history? Recently, with all the Iran stuff going on, we haven't even had time to look at other countries, have we? I do look at them every morning in case there's anything really juicy and really good. There hasn't been. It's just wall-to-wall Iran, mostly. Or you just get some local nonsense thing. Look, like Le Monde, just to let you know, just for example. Putin conducts a special musical operation in Europe. Some stupid story about a Russian conductor, classical music conductor. It's of no moment. All right, on this day in history, what happened on this day in history, the 20th of March, down through the centuries? What happened of note? On this day in 1602, United Dutch East India Company is formed and granted a monopoly on all Dutch seaborne trade in Asia. Interesting, there's loads of companies like that, aren't there, throughout history? Like the East India Company, the Honourable East India Company, the British one, or the South Sea Company, or the Hudson Bay Company. Loads of them go around the world trading and or colonising. There you go. It wasn't just the British, the Dutch were into it, the French were into it, Spanish, Portuguese. All right. On this day in 1800, Volta, Alessandro Volta, who gave his name to Volts, Electric Volt, it's the same guy, gave his name to that, reports his discovery of the electric battery, like he discovered it. The discovery of that, like he just found one, he found a battery. Oh, look, I've discovered them. In a letter to Joseph Banks, president of the Royal Society of London. Yeah, but Volta was very, very interesting, very important. Someone asked me yesterday, didn't they, if I would ever do long-form history content on history and science. I would do, I should do. Maybe do like a breakdown, like a James Burke-style connections run-through of some of the most important ones. Volta would be on there, Volta would be one of them. He came up with all sorts of interesting things, discovered all sorts of interesting things, including the first sort of electric pile thing, which is like a very, very, very early proto battery. It's nothing like a modern battery, but it's the concept of making a battery. The people, lots and lots of people built on what Volta discovered and did. Put it that way. Very, very important person, Alessandro Volta. Okay, on this day in 1815, Napoleon Bonaparte enters Paris after his escape from Elba and begins his 100-day rule. Harry. On Epochs, I've got like an 8-9 part series, hour and a half a piece. So like what, 10, 12, 15 outer hours of me and Carl talking about the life and career of Napoleon Bonaparte. If you remember, after he was put on the island, he was defeated, made the emperor of the tiny little island of Elba, you know, as a humiliation, which he promptly escaped from. Today, Napoleon still survives as a soldier of fortune. If you have a problem and no one else can help, maybe you can hire Napoleon. He escaped and raised a new army. Like Ney turns his side, Marshal Ney turns his side, and he re-enters Paris and becomes the emperor again, only for about 100 days. Until the Allies under the first Duke of Wellington were able to corner him at Quatre-Bras and force him to battle on the field of Waterloo, where he was finally defeated and sent to St. Helena. Okay, on this day in 1850, that was the end of Napoleon. On this day in 1854, the Republican Party, is formally organised in Ripon, Wisconsin. Interesting. On this day in 1900, US Secretary of State John Hay announces that all nations to whom he sent notes calling for an open door policy in China have essentially accepted his stance. That's quite interesting. That's where largely Japan and the United Kingdom, but also a few others, France a bit, Germany a little bit, we're basically exploiting China one way or another. Even possible that we would partition it, break it up into smaller bits, make it our colonies in various ways. The United States says, don't do that. Or rather, let us get in on that. Depending on how you want to look at it. Right, you could say, don't do that. That's evil. That's evil colonialism. Or if you're going to do that, at least let everyone else have a piece of the pie. Depending on how you look at it. Open door. Oh, it's not fair. Japan and the UK are largely exploiting China. We, the United States, want to be able to do it too. It's not really fair. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. It really depends how you look at it, that one. It really does depend. Okay, on this day in 2016, Barack Obama becomes the first US president to visit Cuba, because he's a traitor, since 1928, arriving for a three-day tour with First Lady Michelle. Yeah, like the Iran nuclear deal. Like loads of things Obama did. Think he was being really progressive trendsetter and starting a new life, a new world, new progressive politics. It was just stupid and backward and traitorous. Yeah, Barack Obama and Big Mike there. Big Mike, who's definitely a biological woman. Okay, on this day in 2024, new rule limiting tailpipe pollution aimed at greatly expanding electric vehicles in the US is announced by President Joe Biden. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? In order to charge your car up, got the little plug that you put in the side of your car and then you plug that in and charge the electric battery. Don't you need to burn fossil fuels to generate that electricity though still? So the pollution might not necessarily come directly out of the tailpipe of your car. But the pollution, if not more actually, goes into the atmosphere from the power station that created that electricity. So it's a nonsense. Always was. Okay. On this day, the same day in 2024, Vaughan Gethin is confirmed as Wales's first minister and the first black leader of a national government in Europe. Brilliant. Yeah, look, well, there's a black man there, LARPing as a Welshman. And he became the leader in the devolved Welsh government. How'd that work out for you, by the way? Work out well, did it? Because he was just such a great politician. Got there through merit. And he's been really good since he's been the leader of Wales. It's the absurdity of DEI for you. All right. Should we have a look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats? We've got one Rumble Rant for Tim Barber. All right, Bo, petrol prices are getting insane, so I think it's time to buy horses and go around in an Amish paradise. Terry Nutlins. Was it Nutlins? It was something like that, wasn't it? I'm not sure if it was Nutlins. Anyway, if you say so. Anyway, it was Terry Nut something, wasn't it? Was the fingerless man. Looked like a weird Hulk Hogan, yeah. It looked like Hulk Hogan had, like, lost a lot of weight. Hulk Hogan had been terribly ill with something degenerative for a while. And he was, like, missing, like, some fingers, wasn't he? I think it was from seals. He'd been trying to feed a seal fish by hand. And the seal just, like, nips his finger off. Yeah, some seals are cute and little. Another, like a big male leopard seal or something. A monstrous beast. Yeah, it'll bite your finger off and didn't even realise it did it, sort of thing. Okay. Cheers, though, for T and Barber. You remember the Really Wild show then? Chris Packham. What a scumbag. All right. Let's have a look. YouTube Super Chats. We've got Global Church History first in. Boom. Back on top. In at number one. Global church history. Today in 44 BC, Octavian, Augustus Caesar, is made Julius Caesar's surprise heir. Surprise heir, yeah. Because Julius Caesar was assassinated out of nowhere. Marcus Brutus out of nowhere. And in his will, he'd bequeathed his name and his estates to his grandnephew. It wasn't even his actual nephew, it was like his grandnephew. A boy. 18-year-old, was he 19? I think 18 at the time. Octavian. A complete nobody, a kid. An aristocratic kid. He only goes on to become one of the most important people in the entire history of civilization, doesn't he? Augustus, one of the most pivotal people ever to have lived. Among them, the first emperor, the first true Julio-Claudian emperor. A remarkable person, Octavian. Absolutely remarkable. And what, you want a few hours of content of me talking about it? Oh yeah, behind the paywall. Bodega's Epochs. So that was £5 a month, bronze tier membership. In conversation with Apostolic Majesty, who's a proper genius. I'm an armchair historian. I'm just a rank amateur who loves the sound of his own voice. Apostolic Majesty is a true genius. So there you go, if you want that class content. Talking about all about Augustus, one of the most pivotal people ever to have lived. Okay, opening doors one says, today in 2026, I cleared an elevator, that is all. you cleared an elevator. I shan't ask how, what methods were used. It's quite funny though, cheers. Cheers for the super chat. Mr. Dicky Bingo, not Dinky Bingo, Mr. Dicky Bingo, how are you, sir? Says, hope there are prayer stops on Charlie's path. Right, yeah. King Charles, sausage fingers, bratwurst fingers. Yeah. Is there a little place where you can put down your little mat and pray to Mecca? There would need to be, it wouldn't be very inclusive of King Charles if he didn't make that happen, wouldn't it? Okay. Katkora 7805 says, outro idea, Bo doing the Trump dance. Can I do it? If nothing else, Trump gave us the Trump dance, didn't he? If nothing else. I wonder if that will, the memory of that will last longer than anything he actually did in government. Like quite often, especially as enough time goes by, history remembers you for sort of increasingly fewer things until you're only really remembered for one thing, if at all. Well, the last vestige of memory of President Trump, like 150 years from now, he'll only exist in popular consciousness as the president that sort of did that. Don't know, we'll see, won't we? So Jukes149 says, when it comes to the people praying in the streets, it actually shows that they do not need prayer rooms or even their own churches! Yeah, so you're just being careful about YouTube censors. Okay, yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, any Muslim knows you don't need a mosque because you're at liberty to pray wherever, whenever. All you got to do is make sure you're facing Mecca. Yeah, you're right. So Jukes also said, 3% of the viewers are from Prevent, Hope Not Hate, and the 77 Brigade. Right, the 3% that said yes to the poll. Yeah, quite possibly. Quite possibly. The 77 Brigade. Anyone, well referenced. Anyone doesn't know about that? Google that. Have a read about that. Zeitgeist3208 says, what a Rhode Island Red. I don't know what that is, sorry. A Rhode Island Red. I don't know that turn of phrase, I'm afraid. Perhaps if you're American, everyone knows what that is, what that's a reference to. But off the top of my head, anyway, I don't know what that means. Sorry, mate. Sorry. Cheers for the super chat, anyway. Well, you go on to say, the next one is also you. Zeitgeist, who says, you can't get halal chicken nuggets in Albania, question mark. Yeah. I mean, you could, because Albania's... Yeah, I would have thought you could. But you could source them a lot eat more easily in Britain, I would have thought. Yeah. Yeah. No idea if that family is Muslim or not. Being Albanian, they may or may not be, but probably wouldn't be, but may well be. But yeah, probably get halal nuggets easier in Britain than in Albania. Probably, that's probably, all joking aside, true. Okay. The Field Marshal Dawn Browning doesn't say anything, but just gives us 10 Aussie dollars, so thanks for that, Dawn. Cheers, love. Appreciate it. Really do. Thank you. Opening Doors Again says, Bo, do you like chicken nuggets? I like chicken nuggets, yeah, yeah. No, I love chicken nuggets, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I'll get brown sauce. I prefer it with brown sauce, right, or barbecue rather than ketchup. But no, I like chicken nuggets, yeah. I mean, they're all right. I'd rather have something not processed. Right? I'd rather have a steak than burger meat. So I'd rather have actual chicken on the bone or chicken breast, roast chicken, than chicken nuggets. But I'll eat chicken nuggets happily. Yeah, yeah, why not? Okay, last two, say here. What have we got? The last two are Zeitgeist again, so cheers for the money. Appreciate it. You say, hey, Bo, is it absurd or absurd? Sorry, obviously it is absurd. I think sometimes my accent, it sounds like I'm saying absurd, doesn't it? Yeah, it's just my accent and if I speak fast and... Yeah, like, if I'm not careful, I say nuclear all the time. I know it's nuclear, and I try and make the effort to say nuclear, but sometimes I'll still say nuclear if I'm not thinking or I'm going too fast and stuff. Say with that, it's absurd, isn't it? But I'll probably sound like I'm saying absurd. All right. Oh, then you say, maybe that's just the Essex accent. Yeah, basically it is, yeah. Yeah, it basically is. And last one said, again from Zeitgeist, here's another for Dawny and Dotty Scrub Nation. Oh, is that the Scrubs, Dawn Browning? Right, yeah, the Scrub Nation. Dangerfield, Chris Dangerfield. Hey, Chris, let me know if you want me on, I'll come on. All right, I guess that's the show. Chris Dangerfield, check him out. Good guy, by the way. Go, Chris Dangerfield, just YouTube. Chris Dangerfield. All right, any more? Oh, one more Rumble Rant just came in. Rick TWGP says, have you seen what Dick Inman has said about you and Carl, mate? Oh, no. No, not interested. that geezer's an absolute loser. He's a total chump. Not interested. All right. That's the show. So that's 14 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for joining us. Without you, it's not a thing. It really isn't, is it? Without you, it's not a thing. Hope you can make the best of the rest of the day ahead and the weekend. You know, your time's valuable. It's the most valuable thing you've got, really. Definitely, by a long way. Far more valuable than anything you actually own. Money, precious metals, jewels. It's your time. You'll never get it back. It's limited. It's finite. Try and do something of value with it if you can. All right. I hope you have a great weekend. Until Monday morning, take care.